We now bring to these microphones David James, and David and I have a conversation weekly as it relates to issues confronting the body of Christ. The church today needs to be able to understand some of the ramifications of the issues that we discuss, also the biblical basis upon which we make decisions relating to these issues. And so we're finding more and more there is reception to this discussion. Many of those contacting us here at Prophecy Today encourage us to continue on. I think this is a great part of our broadcast weekly, and indeed, I'm so glad to have David available to be able to do a lot of research and then bring to the table some insight for those eavesdropping on the conversation to come to a better understanding on the issue. In fact, David, in previous discussions, we've talked about God's plan through the ages, and in your research, you've come across a trend of deep concern to me and to you related to how many Bible teachers are now speaking and writing about this, the dispensationalism. Talk to me about that.
It's something I've been noting over probably the past year or so, but there's been a significant rise in the anti-dispensationalism rhetoric, and it relates to the idea of God's plan through the ages. When we look at the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and God has revealed to us his plan for the ages and through the ages, we see that he carries out his plan in a series of phases at different periods of time with different responsibilities. So we call those phases dispensations. And there's a lot of people out there now who are really going on the attack and saying that that's just not the right way to understand the scriptures.
Let me give this caveat for all of you eavesdropping on the conversation. In our School of Prophets, David teaches the course, God's Plan Through the Ages. He also teaches the course on dispensationalism. So, David, just briefly, now you can't do a 10-hour course here, but explain what we mean by dispensationalism.
Well, going back to the idea that the scriptures reveal that God carries out his plan in a series of phases, and I think there are probably seven distinct phases, and you come to that conclusion when you approach the scriptures with a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic. In other words, taking the Word of God as the Word of God and taking it for what it says. So the end result is what we call dispensationalism. It's the theology. It's not that we approach the scriptures with dispensationalism or a dispensational hermeneutic. It's the result of taking the scriptures literally and just seeing how that works out.
Well, there's always been those, David, who have disagreed with those of us who use and approach our study of God's Word with a dispensational theology. Now, how is this current trend any different?
Well, I think the main thing is, in the past, there have obviously been many who have not held to dispensational theology. They hold to various views, covenant theology and various ones. But the way they approached it has been largely just to be non-dispensational, but being very measured and careful in what they say, particularly what they say about those who hold those positions. But this, what we're seeing now, is not just non-dispensationalism, it's anti-dispensationalism. It's not that this is completely new. I found an article that I think I sent you that goes clear back to 1942, which kind of takes that tone. But if you put in dispensationalism heresy, for example, in a Google search, you'll get page after page now, and some of it is very vitriolic.
Well, what are some of the things that they're saying about dispensationalism and those of us who hold to it?
Well, for example, there a title of one of the articles that I was looking at said that we're a cult. They're using the term heresy frequently and regularly. I mean, this is, and not just the articles, but if you go into the comment sections, I mean, it just person after person is saying exactly the same thing. In fact, I even saw one article that said dispensationalism is actually a form of atheism, which I just had to shake my head in disbelief. And, you know, heresy is a very serious charge because that means that somebody who teaches heresy has departed from their faith, and their even their salvation is in question. And I've actually seen that in writing more than once.
Well, since you teach this course, not only in our School of Prophets, but across the world in many Bible schools and colleges, how do you respond to those who say dispensationalism is not even found anywhere in the Scriptures?
Well, let me give you an example. I started out teaching the course God's Plan Through the Ages in 20 hours, and I cut it down to 10 hours. I've done it in 8 hours in a church, and actually, when I was in the Philippines a few weeks ago, I actually did it in 4 hours, 1 hour for an intro to dispensationalism, and 3 hours, God's Plan Through the Ages, eternity past to eternity future, in 3 hours. And what I did was I showed from the Scriptures, and it was at a pastor's conference, and I asked them, okay, what is the pattern? Okay, we see that there is a set of conditions that God has given. Man is responsible to those things. Man fails. As a result of that, there comes judgment. There's a burst of signs and wonders. There is, after that, there's restoration and blessing with a new covenant and new revelation, and you move forward. And what you see is, and what the pastor saw very clearly and very quickly, was that this pattern is repeated consistently, exactly 7 times in the Scriptures. And so to say that it's not found in the Scriptures is to deny the very plain teaching and the very clear pattern that God has set out.
Well, one of the objections that is commonly heard is that dispensationalists teach multiple ways of salvation. For example, the Jews in the Old Testament, they say they were saved, or they say we say, whatever, they're coming to a conclusion that it's salvation by keeping of the law, but Christians are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Your response?
Well, I think some early dispensationalists, perhaps in the Scofield Bible, stated things in a way that weren't as careful or as refined as they could have been, so some of their statements might have been a little bit ambiguous, but for probably the last 70 or 80 years, there has been no dispensationalist that teaches multiple ways of salvation. In fact, if you think about what Jesus said, he said, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." That was before he went to the cross. This was under the Old Testament dispensation. This was under the dispensation of law. So I would say this, that the person of the Godhead that has always been encountered by mankind in a personal way has been Jesus Christ, both before and after his incarnation. And so I think this principle that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, draws people to the second person of the Godhead, and they place their faith in him. And that has been true from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the Scriptures. So there is one way of salvation, by grace, through faith, and I would say even specifically in the second person of the Godhead.
Well, what about those that say this whole idea of, and the discussion is secondary issue, it shouldn't be there because of such heated debate and divisions that it is causing? What do you think about that?
Well, I think people misdefine what a secondary issue is or misunderstand. Yes, it's true that this doesn't necessarily have to do with your salvation. That's by grace through faith alone. However, the problem is that you come to these other conclusions about God's plan because you use a different hermeneutic. In other words, you interpret the Scriptures differently. And if you interpret the Scriptures differently, if you approach the Scriptures differently, you're going to come to different conclusions, not only about the end times and God's plan, you're also going to come to different conclusions about doctrines of salvation, sanctification, the work of Christ. All these things are affected by how you approach the Scriptures. So to say that it's a secondary issue, yes, it doesn't necessarily relate to salvation, but it could. And remember, salvation is the beginning of the story, not the end, and we move forward and become disciples of Christ as we study the Scriptures using appropriate methods.
You know, David, some of us who are traditional dispensationalists seem to be circling the wagons because the attack is on. But there are those who have studied this very intently and extensively for a number of years. Recommend some resources for those who really want to study dispensationalism further and to understand why it is biblical.
I would say probably the first book that somebody should get is Charles Ryrie's book, Dispensationalism. He wrote it as his doctoral thesis back in the 60s, but then he revised it in the 90s. The average person can really get into it and understand it very clearly. Another popular treatment would be Reynolds Schauer's What on Earth is God Doing, which is the basis for my course. Dr. Schauer's also has another book that's titled There Really Is a Difference, which talks about dispensationalism versus other approaches to Scripture. And then the classic big theological work would be Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost. That it's a big book, but if somebody really wants to get into it and understand it thoroughly, that would be a great resource too.
And I would recommend all three of those authors as well, and the books. Rennie Schauer's a prolific writer on the issues relating to dispensationalism. Dr. Charles Ryrie, the beginning force in my study of dispensationalism. I used his first book on dispensationalism and was talking with him about another issue at the time he was revising it and getting it ready, and of course the Bible for Eschatology, Things to Come by Dr. Dwight Pentecost. Well, just one final question for you, David, and quickly if we can, we're running out of time. It's key for us to understand the approach we take to studying God's Word helps us to recognize the future, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial kingdom. That's key for our understanding of end times, is it not?
It absolutely is. A characteristic of dispensationalism is we recognize there's a difference between Israel and the church, and God is dealing with these two groups of people who are part of the whole people of God. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And maybe we can talk about this in the future, is that not only is dispensationalism under attack, but the idea of the timetable and the next things on God's calendar are under attack as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think the rapture should be a topic for us next week. David, thank you so much for your research, your insight, your assistance in helping us build the body of Christ with the truth from God's Word. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Always glad to do it.